All right. So you grab your Bibles tonight and turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 to 16. And you can actually keep your finger there because this is part 13 now of our study. And you can keep your finger there. One of the great passages of the Lord giving us the excitement, the encouragement that He's going to gift us as a church with various giftings of the Holy Spirit for the edification of the body. So you'd always want to mark down Ephesians 4. And then also, just jot it down, no need to turn there yet, Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, Paul there lists the gifts that are listed there for the body and again for edification. And these are the gifts that are given by the Holy Spirit. And so the title of our message is United in the Gifts, as you know. And we're talking about growing up a church in the gifts. And the Lord has given us these gifts, and by God's grace, one of them will be in operation tonight, hopefully, and that will be the gift of teaching. It's always a scary thing to wonder if God's going to show up to the Bible study. But it's at times like this when I'm like waiting for Him to come. And God has given many gifts in the body, and if you are a born-again Christian tonight, you have a gift. And we've been looking into the gifts of the Spirit. In fact, we're nearly done with our search regarding the gifts. And, of course, one of the most powerful passages, and I'm going to ask you to keep your finger in Ephesians, but go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and there begins a listing of the gifts. And it goes from chapter 12 into chapter 14. And, of course, nestled in the middle of those chapters is chapter 13, the love chapter, where every gift needs to be operated in the love of the Lord, in the love of the Spirit. In fact, you can be the most gifted orator or whatever, and Paul makes it clear that if you don't have love, then you're nothing but a rattling bunch of spoons and forks and cymbals and nothingness if you don't have love. And we'll talk more about that tonight. So in 1 Corinthians 12, it says here, verse 1, now concerning spirituals, actually, or spiritual gifts. Brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant or uninformed. You know that you were once Gentiles, carried away with these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but it is the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, and to another the working of miracles. And that's where we're going to stop tonight. The working of miracles. Commentators tell us in all of their volumes, their goal and their passion concerning the gifts is to equate to us the meaning of why they're given. God gives the gifts that we might operate as the New Testament church ought to, so that we might effectively fulfill the calling that God has placed upon our lives as a church. We are actually, this is a scary thought, we are actually Jesus' hands and His feet and His eyes at this time until He comes again. When people look at the church, they're to look at the church and say, my, aren't they loving? My question is, do they? When people look at the church, they should say, they're so giving. Are we? Am I? When people look at the church, do they get a picture of Jesus Christ? Now, in the natural, no, that's impossible. But by the Holy Spirit, it is possible. There's a way that when a person is immersed in their relationship with God, that you can experience the moving of the Holy Spirit in your life. There's no works connected to that. It's just an existence where God becomes such a reality that you just walk with Him, as Enoch did. He walked with God, as Abraham walked with God. And there comes what I think is the fulfillment when God says in the Word, You will find me when you search for me with all of your hearts. God is jealous, he says of himself. And you might say, well, that's a negative thing. How can God be that way? Well, it's a jealousy in a godly way. God doesn't want to share your attention with anybody. He wants you. And I tell you, the moment you turn your heart to him, the Lord will separate you from the world, so to speak. Though you'll be in the world, you will not be of the world. But he'll pull you off to the side. And God will spend time with you. Why? Because you've intended it. You've purposed it in your heart that you're going to spend time with him. God is so jealous of you. He loves you so much. He's possessive of you. He doesn't want you scurried about by all kinds of other things that pull you away from time with him. And if you're a believer tonight, you know that every day you get up and God is pulling on your heart. If you don't have that pulling, then something's wrong and you need to meet Jesus personally. But if you know him personally, he's constantly, isn't he? Constantly telling you, put down that thing and come talk to me. You can be out doing something. Now, we had a mini vacation the other day. We left Sunday right after service and went to the river. We love to play in the river. And we were out there, and last night we were there, and I just had a religious experience. I mean, I got to tell you, we were there to have fun, to goof off. But, you know, to be honest with you, I had my Bible with me, and I never got to my Bible. We were getting up so early and getting in so late that I didn't get to my Bible. So out there, I was just thinking about the Lord and talking to him and just having an awesome time. And on one of the evenings, I don't know if it was Sunday night or Monday night, but we went out in the desert, out in the nowhere, and turned the car off and laid on top of the car and watched the stars do their thing. And you know what? Out of the mouths of everyone just sitting out there was, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And a meteor would go across the sky. Oh, praise the Lord. And last night in the water, I mean, we stayed out there until, well, we couldn't see getting the boat back. This guy that had the boat, we were skiing behind this guy's boat. And we were out there and it got so dark and we were out there having so much fun and we were just yelling and praising the Lord. There's just that neatness where you can look at the creation of God and not go, oh, praise these mountains, praise the water. It's the Lord. And if he's included in our lives, he's going to magnify his presence. And there's a sweetness to it. And God wants to do that in our lives as a church. And God will do that. And he is doing that in the area of the giftings. Everyone, as we've mentioned, has a gift. And we need to be a body that is in tune with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And tonight we're going to be talking about this interesting gift of miracles and what it all means. And I want you to think about this for a moment. I wrote down today in preparing this and thinking about this about body language. And a person can be saying a lot of things with their mouth and have a whole different body language. Communicators say that your body language says a lot of things. How you move your body. You can say one thing and move your body and be saying something different. One of the guys that some of us know, he works with Bill Clinton and all, and part of the deal is when you become president, you get schooled on how to carry yourself. Well, you would hope by the time you get there, you already know how to do that. But anyway, some guys seem to be trained on how to do that. And people come in and they tell the president what to do and how to stand, and you do this. And if you haven't been in the military, you're supposed to do this to the helicopter pilot and to the Air Force One pilot. You got to know when to salute and stuff. And Bill got in trouble over that one time. He didn't salute on his first day on the job and got in trouble. His body language didn't convey to the military people around him and to the people there that you're respectful of these guys. And so a body language means something. And in the church, body language is everything. How this body ministers to itself and to the community says it all. We can talk about love. We can talk about, listen, miracles. But are we really being used by God in the area of the miraculous? Now, listen, my kids, like your kids or like me or like you, have said, how come we don't see more miracles? My kids have said, Dad, how come we don't see more miracles? Well, they're happening. How come we don't see them? Well, we have our Bibles. Read your Bible. God wants you to have faith in Him. But there's miracles happening all around the world. We've had some happen here. But there's people having miracles, miraculous experiences worldwide, mainly, as we'll see tonight, in areas where the Word is not so prevalent. There are great miracles taking place. For some reason, people think there are no miracles being done anymore because they don't see them. So they don't exist. And that's not true. There are miracles taking place that are exactly as it was in the book of Acts, that you hear reports out of China or out of Africa or places like that where there are people being raised from the dead. And these things supposedly are documented. I know Alan Cecil, the missionaries that we sponsor from this church in China, they have seen radical miracles there in inland China. And, you know, how do you explain that? Well, God is all-powerful, for one thing. But He's at work within His body. Jot this down, please, if you would. In 1 John 3:16, the Bible says, "By this we know that we have love because He," or excuse me, "by this we know love because He laid down His life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Body language. And you might say, what does this have to do with miracles? I think it has everything to do with it. We can sit here as a church and fall asleep in our seats or in our pews, or we can get outside of this place and reach out and see God work through us, or we can actually reach in and see God work among us if we minister one to another. Now, the listing of the gifts primarily are for the ministry of the body. But this miracle gift that we're going to be looking at tonight goes both inside and outside the body of Christ. And we'll see this. But the beautiful thing is, what kind of a church are we going to be in this area? Do you believe in miracles? Do you believe that God can do them? You might say, well, yes, I do. But have you ever seen one? No. Well, listen, you're in a good place. Most Christians, from what we understand, have never seen miracles happen that they recognize. But let me ask you right now by a show of hands, how many of you have seen at least one person come to Jesus Christ in your Christian life? Raise your hand if you would. Wow, look around. Look at that. That's awesome. That's an incredible miracle. In fact, I think by the time we come to end here tonight, you're going to see that it's the greatest miracle of all. We may not place such a high stake on it, but listen, when one sinner repents and comes to Christ, that's the only thing I see in the Bible where angels party in heaven over. It says that they party in heaven. They rejoice. And they have a blast over that, and I like that. But the beautiful thing for us to realize tonight is that we need to be a loving church, moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's God's desire that we do that. And we need to remember this. The Bible says in Revelation 5:10 that He has made us kings and priests to our God, and we in the future shall reign with God. Philippians 3:20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await the coming of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." That is, our citizenship is in heaven, and eventually in the future fulfillment, we will be kings and priests reigning with Christ. Isn't that a tremendous thought? Well, we are of the body of Christ. Our politics, as Philippians talks about, our citizenship is in heaven. And we can act and move and be like it now. We can have that mission on earth of being a loving people, of actually following a God who is a God of miracles and being used by Him in that area. And I want to do that as a believer. I want to be like that, and so do you. As we get into this, I want to announce this, though, right up front, that there's a danger, I think, that exists with anything that happens in the supernatural. People will flock to it and run to it, and sometimes even embrace it and worship it when it comes to the supernatural. There are some people who will just go to a church because they get goosebumps, and, oh, it just makes me feel so good. There are people who walk out of a church and say, you know what, I didn't feel anything. Did you learn anything? Yeah, I learned a lot, but I didn't feel the goosebump thing. And then there are people who are into goosebump things, and you ask them to take you to John 3:16, they don't know where it is. And there's a difficulty with it, yeah, but there's a balance that's got to be struck. There's a balance. So there's a danger with the pursuit of gifts, especially the miraculous. Anything that is not normal, we have the tendency to go after and to almost enshrine. Remember the children of Israel when they're in the wilderness? And God says, make a brazen serpent out of brass. It looks like a snake. It's where the physicians, by the way, got their, whatever that thing's called, their little sign. And Moses, raise up the stick with the snake on the top and tell the people, whoever looks at the snake, they'll be cured of the poisonous snake bites that they received in the wilderness. As judgment, by the way. They had sinned. And God sent fiery, mean serpents after these people. But God said, listen, look to the brazen serpent up on this pole and you'll be saved. So what would you do if you got bit by a snake? Wouldn't you look on the pole? Some people just wouldn't look. I'm not going to look. Can you imagine? Just look, will you? You ever felt like that with somebody? Just listen. Jesus loves you. I don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. And they don't want it. And you feel like grabbing their ears and just... Now, you may not feel like that. I feel like that a lot. Just look and you'll be saved. You know what happens? Some people look, some don't. Some live, some die. But the guys who lived, if you keep reading there in Numbers, you know what they wind up doing? They bring the serpent down from the pole and they begin to worship it as their god. How stupid. And we sit there and go, man, that's so dumb. And the same heart that lives in them lives in us. We will follow and pursue things to our own destruction, even if it is a gift of the Holy Spirit. We can become so focused and so lopsided on something that we lose the perspective and the balance. Very dangerous. The Ark of the Covenant. They did the same thing with the Ark. Gee, we're really having a terrible time at war. Let's take it to battle with us. That Ark was created for God to dwell over. But instead of trusting in the God of heaven who dwelt above the Ark, they took the Ark into battle and got shot. And they lost the war. Why? They trusted in the idol, in the thing, rather than God Himself. And that's always a dangerous thing. So even as we look at this, you might be saying, oh man, I want to have this gift of miracles. Well, why? Well, so I can... No. Remember, so you and I, like John the Baptist, can decrease so he can increase. That's why. Oh, man, if I was just in the ministry, oh, boy, I could just change the world. I could stumble and fall. No, let the Lord lead you and guide you in that. Listen to this. I had to write this down because of the stars that we saw the other night. It was incredible. I thought, how many, as some of you know, in America, the Native Americans, so many of them worship the gods of the environment, you know. The God of the heavens, the God of the stars, the God of the river, the God of the sky, the clouds, the rain, the this and that. And they had all their various gods, and when something happened or didn't happen, the god that they worshipped for that particular thing was either angry or he was appeased. And it was a constant roller coaster relationship with the pagan gods of peoples who don't know the true and living God. And I wrote down three verses that I just love. In Psalm 97:6, it says, the heavens declare their righteousness, and all the peoples see His glory. Let all them be put to shame who serve carved idols, who boast of idols. Worship God, all you gods, and it's a little g, all you judges, those who make decisions. The God of the heavens is the God that we worship. He's the miracle God. Psalm 50, verse 6, let the heavens declare His righteousness, for God Himself is the judge. And of course, you know Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day they utter their speech, and night unto night they reveal knowledge. Knowledge of what? Of whom? God. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And so for the Christian tonight, that's maybe all of us, we need to start getting in the mindset that the supernatural shouldn't be so shocking to us. We're Christians. Our God is spinning Jupiter. Tonight when you leave, look over here on the southwestern sky. And you'll see Mars. You'll see it. It's kind of reddish, amber looking. You'll see it. He's holding it up there. Colossians says that it's all held by His Word. It's just there. It's incredible. It's a miracle. The scientific community cannot explain it. Everything holding together. You know, it's an absolute miracle that's taking place right now. We are spinning at thousands of miles an hour. And in 24 hours, we'll have made a circuit. But yet the sun, the moon, Earth, Jupiter, Venus, Pluto, all of it out there, all of it is moving, and it is moving, all of it is moving on a track. So think of take a swimming pool, put on the back of an 18-wheeler, and somebody's swimming in the pool, playing and throwing the ball back and forth and all that stuff, and everything's moving, and as you back away from that pool, you see that you're on an 18-wheeler going down the freeway. And from this moment right now, 20 minutes to 9, in 24 hours, our entire system will have traveled 1 million miles from the point we're at right now in space. Right now, 1 million miles it's going to be, will have moved in its movements from this spot right now. And God says, I hold it all in the span of my hand. From one end to the other, it's all in my hand. What an awesome God we have. So you see, for the Christian, the miracle shouldn't be such a supernatural thing. For the Christian, the miracle should be a common thing. Because our God can handle anything. He's that kind of a God. First thing we want to note tonight in our study, the description of the gift. He says in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 12, to another the working of miracles. The word miracle here is an interesting word that you know already. It's the word dunamis, power. You recognize that from Acts chapter 1. You shall receive power. It's the same word, miracle. Superpower, superforce. It means to be gifted with miraculous abilities or wonder-working power. Remember that hymn, Wonder-Working Power in the Blood of the Lamb? The old hymn goes, wonder-working power. God gives, even in this day and age, and I got news for you, He has not only been given it for the last 2,000 years, it's going to get more prevalent as the days approach where God is going to be pouring this gift and other gifts out upon His church and upon His people Israel later on. But the gift is for today. In fact, I want you to jot this down. Don't ever forget this. Love never fails, says 1 Corinthians 13:8. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they will fail futuristically. They're going to stop. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Someday, tongues will cease. The gift of tongues is what he's referring to. Whether there is knowledge, it's going to vanish away. Listen, love has not failed. It's never going to fail. Prophecies have not stopped. Tongues have not ceased. Nor has knowledge vanished away. I don't think it has. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is done in part, or that which is in part shall be done away. And that is a direct reference to the coming of Jesus Christ. That's why it's nestled right in there in 1 Corinthians 13. There will come a day when no gifts will be needed again, except one which is not a gift, actually, and that is love. Love will abide. We won't need anything else. But the gifts of the Spirit are working today. Well, I haven't seen them. Well, I haven't seen all of them either. But according to the Bible and theology here out of the Scripture, they're working today. And by the way, we've been promised this power. In John chapter 14, verse 12. I love this verse. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you. And I like when He says, I say to you, it's like us. When I say to you, hey, it's us here. 2,000 years later, it's us. I say to you, he who believes in me, do you? The works that I do, he will do also. and greater works than these He will do, because I go to the Father. That's in reference to the sending of the Holy Spirit. Remember Jesus said, I'm going to go to the Father, and I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. I personally believe that what He was saying in John 14:12 was that we would have the ability and the gifting to evangelize the world. I do believe it. I personally believe that because of Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. He says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And He said to them, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put into His own authority. Why? Well, that was 2,000 years ago. They had a lot of work to do. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I believe that's the fulfillment of John 14:12. You'll do greater works. Have you noticed Jesus' evangelistic ministry was not all that effective? Did you know that? Did you read it in those scriptures? Read it from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus' evangelistic efforts were not all that successful. Sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Lord, I pray that You would cause us as a church to be consumed. I beg of You, Lord, that every one of us tonight would be burdened with the passion to pray, Lord, how do You want me to minister to my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Lord, I'm asking You, please, burn that into our soul, that we might look toward our brother and sister and think how we might love them and lift them up more than ourselves. That we would look to one another and say, how can I help you? How can I serve you? With true humility. Not how can I better your life, but how can I get underneath your feet to pick you up? Lord in heaven, Lord who dwells within our hearts, we ask You to baptize us with the giftings of Your Spirit as You see fit. But no matter what, may it be manifested in the love of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand up as we close.